Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tyrone Crawford.
Holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast, presented by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm your host every week for the Wind City Sports Podcast, available anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify, iTunes, and more. We have a strong social media following on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at WindCity_sports. We also have a YouTube channel, so give us a subscribe on there, a follow and like on any app you might use, and please a review, a rating on any platform you might use for podcasting or social media. And please tell your friends, spread the word of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Very easy to find after over 5 years doing the show. WINCITY is all one word, at WindCity_sports. And today on the Wind City Sports Podcast, it is Monday, January 17th, 2022, and it's episode 240 of Wind City Sports. We have a good guest coming up for you this week, as always. We have a little bit of news to get you caught up with. Obviously, nothing crazy going down in the last week or so here in Wind City or in the sports world throughout Canada. But that being said, our guest this week, we got to talk about, he's a Windsor native, former Windsor Spitfires video coach, and now the video coach for the Ottawa Senators, joining the Spitfires influenced staff of the Ottawa Senators, including Bob Jones and DJ Smith. Joining them is Evan Mathias, and he'll be joining us this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast to talk about, you know, kind of getting involved in that side of work in the sports world, better yet in the hockey world, making his way into the Windsor Spitfires organization around the 2017 Memorial Cup and transitioning into the NHL, a fairly quick transition for a kid right here in Windsor who basically has made a living off of our local hockey team and made it to the big league. So some pretty cool stuff coming up for you this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Good conversation. And if you missed any in the last couple weeks, some good ones to go back and listen to just before the Christmas break. Kevin Westgarth on the show. Princeton grad, NHL alumni, Stanley Cup champion, and NHL player development VP. Following the break, we came back with Eddie Mio, and then last week, Liam LeClaire of the NLL, professional lacrosse player for the Calgary Roughnecks. So some good stuff the last couple weeks. I've been having fun doing it, of course, and all of it is brought to you by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. The holiday countdown event is extended at Amherstburg Chevy. Check out AmherstburgGM.com for pricing and listings and to get in contact with a representative. They're offering amazing deals on the new 2022 GM Terrien, among others. Amherstburg Chevy Buick GM is proud to serve drivers all throughout South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, LaSalle, and beyond. They believe in providing top quality service to everyone who walks through their doors, and that includes assistance with picking out a new ride, financing it, and keeping it in top quality condition. Make an appointment by giving them a call or go down to the showroom, or of course check out AmherstburgGM.com. That's Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC, located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. We're going to get you caught up with some Windsor Spitfires action now. And as I speak, they're actually playing at the WFCU Center with a 5-3 lead over the Flint Firebirds. So obviously no fans in attendance for that one. We will try to update you after our interview segment of the show. But a little bit of postponements have been in effect for the Spitfires teams in the last week or so. Where we left off last, they were actually playing same thing last Sunday on the road in the Sioux. They ended up taking that game 10-4, huge final victory for the Spitfires. Following that, they went up to Sarnia on Friday, and with a close game, ended up with a 6-5 final for the Sarnia Sting. Saturday, they were supposed to play Saginaw, which has been postponed. And as mentioned, as I speak, recording the show day before Monday, they are playing Flint at the WFCU. As I speak, they're approaching the halfway mark of the third and up 5-3. So we'll try to update you with that following our interview segment, but still a little bit more to talk about with our Spitfires. Currently speaking, they have actually dropped a place and are down to fifth in the Western Conference with a record of 16-10, 2-2. Windsor's Wyatt Johnson was named the OHL Player of the Week last week after putting up a few goals and very a few points in his last game with the Spits. But another thing that can't go unmissed is the NHL Central Scouting Midseason Rankings. Rookie centerman Ryan Abraham of the Windsor Spitfires is ranked 210th in North American skaters for the upcoming 2022 entry draft. So the forward from Livonia, Michigan, just across the border, he's been playing with the Spitfires for the last little bit. Obviously, the pandemic makes it feel like a lot longer, but he's slated to pretty much go, what, second round, third round, fourth round for the NHL entry draft this upcoming year. So we have someone to watch coming up this summer. And of course, hopefully throughout the rest of the hockey season, be able to watch them. But that being said, I think it's time to transition into our interview this week with a former Windsor Spitfire staff member in Evan Mathias. He's now the video coach for the Ottawa Senators. He used to be our director of analytics for the Windsor Spitfires before being video coach there as well. Cool story coming up for you with Evan Mathias. Here we go. My next guest here is a Windsor native, formerly our Windsor Spitfires Director of Analytics. He was part of the 2017 Memorial Cup Championship team, and he's part now of the Spitfire staff-influenced Ottawa Senators with a few familiar names. He's their video coach, Evan Mathias. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Like we were talking before, it's just a kind of cool thing that you're doing out there, and as we'll talk about throughout the show here, doing it with some people that, you know, are no strangers to the Spitfires, to Windsor, and to the hockey world in general. You know, obviously, the two names come to mind right away, DJ Smith and Bob Jones. So pretty cool to probably, you know, have some people around there that you might have known a little bit before, right?
Yeah, it always makes things easier when you come into a new staff. To have some familiar faces, it obviously helped the transition period moving out of my hometown and coming up here to work for Ottawa. They made it a really easy transition, and I was obviously pretty surprised to get the call when I did mid-season a few years ago. But yeah, it's been a great first couple seasons up here, and yeah, they make it easy, they make it fun. There's never a dull moment here.
Yeah, I mean, it's still I'm sure a huge hockey area in Ottawa, right? So a lot of eyes on you guys, I'm sure, down there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we have a great fan base up here.
Yeah,
you know what, we've been coming into a kind of a rebuild phase after this team went to the Eastern Conference Final a few years ago, and you know, we're starting to make some strides and turn the corner. We got obviously a team full of good young players, and it's an exciting time up here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And again, it's like, it's a pretty crazy from what I can tell, pretty crazy road to get there, as you talked about. We'll get into it eventually, and quick road, really. I mean, let's talk about you a little bit. Born and raised in Windsor, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm sure you're a hockey kid growing up, right?
Yeah, born and raised in Windsor, Riverside area. Played Riverside Rangers hockey, played Riverside High School hockey. Yeah, grew up a hockey kid, hockey nut. Obviously, yeah. Watched Spitz games and all that growing up. Saw them win two Memorial Cups when I was, in high school. And I was fortunate enough to get an internship with them through college and parlay that turned into a full time job. And
okay,
and the rest, you know, it's kind of history. Here we are.
Yeah, again, like, you know, just talking to people in this show and stuff, and just in life, I mean, sometimes things just work out perfectly for people, and it's interesting to hear, because, you know, you look at yourself and it's like, how did he do this, you know, how did he get there? So it's always cool to tell the story of the road to where you are now, which again is just the beginning of your career.
Right. Yeah, and you know what, I say all the time, I'm very fortunate to be where I am.
Oh, yeah.
The only way I'm here is with the connections I made in hockey. It's not a typical path to this level by any stretch. Started out as an intern with the Spits on the media side of things. I was going to journalism school at St. Clair.
Yeah.
The media director in Windsor at the time, Dave Ducharme, brought myself and one other guy in my year in to be interns for the team to do some media work and some online content. When Rocky Thompson got hired as the head coach in Windsor, he had reached out to a few people saying he needed somebody to do some in-house analytics for the Spits. He wanted to see some different things, and our media director suggested my name. And so from that point on, I kind of crossed the hall from the business side of things over to the hockey side, and you know, kind of turned a part-time internship on the hockey side into, you know, a full-time job the following year. Obviously, that next year we won the Memorial Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Signed a two-year contract after that to start doing video as well as the analytics. And from there, you know, made my way up to this level.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy, man. At least Dave did well for somebody. I think he put in a good word for you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I owe him a lot of credit goes to him for, you know, keeping me involved with the team. Mm-hmm. After my college internship had kind of finished. It was that next year that I started on the hockey side. So I owe him a lot.
Yeah. So like we were kind of talking about, you know, you played, I already played, you know, some single A at the least, you played with Riverside. Growing up a Windsor kid, going to Spitfire games, I'm sure just like everyone else, you know, that was the dream, was to play for the Spitfires, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, kid growing up in that area, you see them and the teams they had, all the big name players at the time. Like when I was a lot younger, it was, you know, Mike Weber. And as I got older, it was Mickey Reno and Taylor Hall and Ryan Ellis and those guys. And obviously, you know, you want to play at the highest level you can. And the dream was, you know, to be an NHL player. Obviously that never turned out, but you know, you start to think realistic a little bit as you get older.
Yeah.
You know, the dream was always to stay in hockey in some capacity. Uh-huh. And I'm happy and very fortunate the way, you know, things have kind of turned out. I've had two lucky bounces for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you don't always get the lucky bounces, right? But on the ice, but
absolutely,
at least you can off.
Absolutely.
But yeah, man, no, I'm the same way. You know, never knew what I wanted to do, you know, in high school, or like, where do you want to go? I'm like, I don't know. All I know is I like hockey and this and that, right? So that's what everyone wants to do, is make their love their work. And obviously you've done so. So I'm assuming that was the same sort of thing for you. You decided, I'm going to go to St. Clair for journalism, try to get in the sports world, assuming that's how it all started, right?
Yeah. You know what? I've always been a fairly good writer when I was growing up and everything, creative writing. And you know, I always took an interest in that. And once, you know, the hockey player dream kind of died, I wanted to be the next Bob McKenzie on TSN or write for the hockey news or something like that. So yeah, I've always wanted to be involved in hockey in some capacity. Obviously that changed from wanting to be on the media side to now in, you know, hockey ops. But yeah, that's always been kind of the plan since I was 13, 14 years old.
And you don't realize like all the roles that really are behind the scenes until you kind of get there, right? So like you said, you're like, okay, well, kind of the first thing that comes to mind when you're like, okay, if I'm not going to be a hockey player, it's like media or coaching or something, right? But then once you get there, it's like, okay, there's all these other jobs. So obviously you probably started to see other things that you could do and that you were passionate about.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was fortunate to kind of come into, you know, the hockey ops side at a time when, you know, the analytics movement was really picking up steam.
Yeah.
So I kind of came in right at the right time, and obviously we had some success in Windsor when I was there. And you know, kind of parlayed that movement with the work I was doing, and obviously the coaches in Windsor saw some value in the analytics I was providing for them, the fancy stats. And turn that into, you know, getting more into the video side. Our video coach at the time, had moved on to other things. And so I signed a 2-year deal as the director of analytics and video. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of that opened up, more doors than I thought it would originally, but yeah, I was very fortunate to get into hockey right at that, you know, kind of the perfect time.
Yeah, I mean, timing is everything, connections are everything, obviously, and it's interesting to hear because, you know, I'm sure you might agree there's sometimes a stigma when it comes to the analytic side of the game, just hockey. Some people believe in it, some people don't, so, you know, at that time you had Thompson and Letowski and stuff like that, not necessarily old guys, not necessarily young guys, but, you know, they might have had a different mentality, so obviously they seen the game changing and seen how, you know, beneficial it could have been, I'm guessing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They, and you know what, Case, I say this all the time. It when you look in analytics, it's not the be all end all of anything. It's
sure,
just
yeah.
a tool, right? It's just a tool to get as much information as you possibly can and then make decisions from there. That's all it is. So these guys were very receptive to, you know, some of the numbers and different things that I was producing. And once Rocky had moved on, Trevor, again, saw value in it and you know, decided to keep me on the staff.
Yeah,
they were great with all of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's job security for you, and it's an investment for the future of the team. If, obviously, if it's showing some success.
Absolutely, yeah. We had, like I said, well, obviously we had some success in Lynch. Yeah. We had really good players at the time too. Let's mm-hmm. not kid ourselves. Like Sergachev, first rounder. Logan Brown, first rounder. Gabriel Vilardi, first rounder. Mikey and Nett. Like there were some really good players that we had.
Oh yeah, man.
In the organization at the time when I was there, so that always helps.
Yeah, I mean, that was your first year too, that Memorial Cup team that, you know, we were hosting. It had to have been a crazy year for you.
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah, for that to be the first year, you know, under contract and with a real position, yeah, it was an unbelievable experience. That whole season was just crazy.
Yeah, man.
Busy and jam-packed, but that was a lot of fun, for sure.
Yeah, and just a lot of learning. And, yeah, oh, my God, what a time it was to be in Windsor around the hockey community.
Oh, there was a buzz around the city right from puck drop on opening day, and that followed right through until May 28th or whatever it ended up being when, you know, we won there.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It really was a quite magical thing at the time. You know, when you're looking back at it, too, doesn't get old. I don't like to, but I kind of compare it to the other Memorial Cups, you know. Obviously way different team, but just that feel kind of came back, the support from the city came back, and just a great story, you know, just like going back to their first one with you know, the whole situation and end up on top. Same thing, you know, you guys just weren't even supposed to be in that game, and sure enough, take the whole thing.
Yeah, well, after that 44 days off there, you know, we refocused as a team. A lot of alumni came in and talked to our group about, you know, the importance of the Memorial Cup and how big of an honor it would be to host it and win at home and all that different stuff. And our coaching staff did a great job of putting a plan in place for our guys to succeed. And once once puck dropped in that opening game against St. John, and you know, we were able to win that game against the Sea Dogs, you know, there was some belief that, hey, as a group, like, we can win this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we rolled that into beating that Seattle team. And once we beat Erie in the round robin game to get that bye to the finals, I think there's a real, like, a true belief that if we just play the right way and do the right things, we're going to win this thing.
Oh, 1,000%, man. I mean, I'm looking at it from a whole different side, right? Like, I've talked to a couple of the guys from the team, and they say exactly what you said, but I'm looking at it like, it's going to be tough for them, right? They win that first game. I'm like, okay, well, they got one, but there's still a lot to do. They beat Seattle. They beat Erie, and it's like, holy shit, this is big time. And that's when it, at least for everyone else, that's when, you know, it's like the feeling came out of the dressing room and just spread throughout the community.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that I remember going into the third round robin game against Erie. The building was absolutely electric, and then that finals was incredible. I was sitting up in the one of the booths with Warren Reichel.
Yeah.
We were able to watch it live, and that was watching it basically with the fans almost. That was incredible.
Yeah, and then they cut to you guys, and you guys were like jumping up and down when the game was over, right?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, I remember as you were saying that, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I was trying not to look at my phone the whole game. Obviously, we're, you know, right in the game the whole time. I remember looking after, and I had a bunch of texts saying, hey, you're on TV, lighten up. I guess I was a little tense up there with Warren.
Yeah. I don't blame you. man, like, that's crazy for that to be your first, you know, kind of year in your staffing career. So like before that, obviously you talked about getting an internship with the Spits, but you didn't have, did you have any experience with other teams kind of doing analytics or anything in that kind of field?
No, that was my first opportunity to start doing any of that. So yeah, it's my first season as a doing the analytics stuff was actually 15-16, but just as an intern.
Yeah.
And then that summer I started doing it full time for that for the 16-17 season.
That's unbelievable, man. That, you don't hear that too often, you know. Just a start right there, right? Usually you got to grind your teeth somewhere first, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like I said, I'm very, very fortunate for these guys to, you know, take an inexperienced kid and let him come aboard, travel with the team, and you know, do what I did.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously it's your line of work now, but were you always like a big stats guy, maybe when you were playing or watching and stuff like that, or in school better yet?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Every morning on NHL.com looking at, you know, league stats, updated things like that, checking every morning, checking TSN for all the stats, analytics, contracts, all that kind of stuff the whole time.
Yeah, so it's just like maybe you didn't realize that though, right, at one point in your life, but again, you couldn't really make a living out of it 20 years ago, but nowadays you can. So obviously, like you said, you know, first it was like media, but then you fell into that. It was like, you know, I actually like this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. That's, yeah, as a kid growing up, you never think, hey, I like looking at stats and, you know, compiling stats, but you can't get paid for that. Well,
yeah,
now you can, apparently. Yeah, yeah. So that's, yeah, it's kind of, it's interesting to see, you know, how hockey and, well, sports in general have really shifted in the last even 10 years.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, just the game changing and evolving. It's so, it's crazy how big it is now.
Oh, for sure.
And so you talked about it as well, you know, with your time with the Spits, you started off as like a video coach, moved up to director of analytics. You know, a little bit of a bigger role. Was there a big change there? Were you kind of closer to the action, I suppose, once you changed roles?
No, not really. The thing that you know, started taking more time was doing the video portion of it. So coming in as a director of analytics and then taking over that video coach's title too, that changed a little bit with you know, just changing the way my day-to-day kind of workflow went. Started doing a lot more obviously like video coaches roles, pre-scouting other teams, doing game review for our guys, and then doing scoring chances for and against, and then my analytics work after that. So it wasn't a huge change by any stretch, but just you know, kind of taking on more work day to day.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was an honor to be, you know, to be recognized and you know, given that title.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's I'm obviously very happy, you know, with the way things went and being able to keep working in Windsor. Those staffs obviously putting some faith in me. I really enjoyed my time there, and for sure getting that title and, you know, being recognized for your work is always nice.
Yeah, and being able to stay home too, right? Doing it all in your hometown.
I can't complain about that. That you know, working for your hometown team for whatever, four and a half years, whatever it ended up being, was for sure. That's a huge honor for me.
Yeah, that's cool stuff, man. And again, just a homegrown guy. It's perfect, really. I mean, no, anyone would want that. Just start at home and then make the jump up to the NHL. So even before, or I think maybe the same year you had joined, DJ and Bob Jones were already gone. But you talked about kind of getting a call in the middle of the season last year. How did it kind of go down with you with Ottawa?
Yeah, so two seasons ago, so it would have been right early
before
on
the pandemic, right?
Yeah, early on in the 1920 season. So we had a game at home. I forget who we were playing in Windsor. And I was on the bench for warm-ups, getting the other team's lines, do that every game, whatever. And our assistant coach at the time, Mike Weber, came out to the bench and said, "Hey, you got a phone call." I said, "What do you mean?" I go, he's like, "Just come in the coach's office." And so I go in the office, and he goes, "DJ's on the phone." I said, "What?" I go, "Don't they play?" So I answer the phone. He goes, "Hey, I'm bringing you up to Ottawa for an interview. I got approved to hire a second video guy. I'd like to interview you. I'll get you some details, you know, in the next few days here, but keep your phone on," kind of thing. And that's literally 15 minutes before our game, or 15, 20 minutes before our game, and 15, 20 minutes before they played. I think it was, they would have been playing either in New York or in Toronto. Regardless, yeah, so right before one of our games, kind of. And yeah, it's interesting how the hockey world works that way. Just the connections. DJ obviously had coached Mike Weber previously, and Webby's, you know, an adopted Windsor guy now too. So yep. Those connections, it was pretty funny. Yeah,
yeah.
20 minutes before our game, get a phone call. You're on your way up. I went, oh boy, okay.
Not nervous at all.
And then, well, 4 or 5 days later, I was in Ottawa.
Wow, man.
So it was a quick turnaround.
So obviously, I mean, just they're looking for a guy, talking to people back at home with the Spitz. Obviously, your name just came up, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, Webby obviously had put in a pretty good word with DJ, and you know, I owe him a dinner at some point too. So, it was a quick turnaround, and I was, like I said, very fortunate that, you know, Webby put my name forward.
That's unbelievable, man.
To give me a call. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and so you go up to Ottawa, have a interview with DJ and the rest, and then that was it? Like, did they do multiple interviews? Was it a process, or they were just like, you know, you look good, heard good things about you, let's do it if you're down?
Yeah, it was pretty quick. It was basically up there and then get rolling. So yeah, it was a quick, pretty quick process.
Handshake
between driving up there. And, it was a quick process for sure.
That's unbelievable, man. Yeah. That's how it kind of goes down when it comes to like networking and stuff, right? Like, you can grind your way through so much, but if you get a break, it's so funny kind of asking these questions, and this is how the conversation goes. It's just like, want to do it? Yeah, sure. You know, like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was obviously a pretty easy decision to make the jump, but mm-hmm. you know, there were still some conversations that had to be, you know, taken into account. Me and my fiance now, but girlfriend at the time, had just bought a house in Windsor 9 days before that. Had closed on a house, so that was quite the conversation to have.
Yeah.
It was obviously a very easy decision to come up here.
Yeah.
And, you know, best decision I made in my life.
Yeah, opportunity, man. And, you know, for those who don't know, you know, it's not like I'm an expert with this either, but like, what's the role of a video coach like, especially in the NHL? Like, kind of what's your day to day like?
So, well, I'm the second video guy here. So my title is video coordinator and data analyst. So for me, I take care of all the hockey analytics for the coaching staff. So anything that our guys see, I kind of manage from our third party company. But our between myself and the other video coach, he does all the pre-scouts for other teams, power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5, and any other, you know, video related special projects. I take care of face-off meetings, goalie pre-scouts for our goalie coaches. There's a lot of video work that goes into day to day workflow, but Mike King does an unbelievable job up here with keeping our coaches up to date with all the video they need, and then I take care of, you know, some of the other things and special projects with these guys.
Again, just a part of the team, right? Everyone doing their part to, you know, achieve the common goal.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's cool, man. Yeah. It's cool how deep, you know, the systems are nowadays, and just to kind of talk about these different jobs that you can get in sports and in hockey and stuff. It's cool, you know, to put that out there for people, right? Because they don't realize what can be done behind the scenes. It's again, like yourself, just a guy from Windsor, all of a sudden now you're working for the NHL. It's really cool.
Yeah, and there's more and more stuff opening up every day as, you know, the game kind of expands. So there's plenty of roles out there for people, you know, to get in the game and be a part of it.
Get involved. That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, like, what are there any differences between your role with the Sens and the Spitz? Are they pretty similar?
The big thing, I think, is, you know, just more kind of detail that goes into everything.
Just bigger, badder, right?
Yeah. There's, you know, we pay two different third-party analytics companies, so instead of me doing all like the tracking, compiling, and, you know, distribution of the metrics, we kind of gets emailed to me, and we have a platform that I can go on and kind of pull specific things. So that's, you know, that's a nice change of being up here, is not physically having to track all the data myself before I present it. I can just pull the data that's already been compiled for me and kind of just manage it.
Yeah.
So that's a big change, and that's a very nice change to have.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's say, like, the role of the Spitz obviously really groomed you for this.
Oh, that's the tediousness of watching games over and over again to get all your data compiled is time consuming, to say the least.
Yeah, well, that's why I gotta just love the game, right? Love watching it.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, this has been really cool, man, to kind of tell your story here on the show. And it's cool that you have, like you mentioned, you know, it's cool to know some people around you when you go to a new spot. Some guys from Windsor, some former Spits too, that obviously maybe not were on the team when you were there, but you got Austin Watson down in Ottawa. And it's so many guys from that team, again, that you mentioned that now you guys are kind of playing against. So it's cool to cross paths with people that you remember from your early days at the WFCU, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, my first year up here, before COVID, obviously, we were able to travel to a few different places around the United States. And first time we were in Arizona, saw Christian Fisher in the hallway.
Yeah.
And he was shocked to see me. What are you doing up here? I said, well, I got hired by Ottawa. And so it's pretty funny to see some of the guys that, you know, we had in the past.
Yeah.
Mikhail Sergachev, Sergey, same thing. We were in Tampa. I was watching Morning Skate, and he saw me, and he goes, what are you doing here? So it's pretty funny when the guys, they don't quite, they don't know you've left Windsor, and then you pop up other places. It's good to see some of these guys as we cross paths.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to see Sergey this year, actually. Yeah, they were in town. Tampa was in town a few weeks ago, and it was good to see him catch up with her a little bit.
That's funny to hear their reactions. But, man, like, just him alone and so many of those guys from that team, just so successful now in the NHL. It's probably cool for you guys, you know, on the different side of things to kind of be like, you know, part of my work, you know. Look at Stanley, Chatfield, so many guys just killing it now.
Oh, for sure. And on the coaching side too, Trevor Letowski is an assistant coach in Montreal. He was a big part of my, you know, development as a staff member too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. Yeah, only good things about him. And Rocky, too. I hope he's doing well. I know he was a little sick there or something, but he's a great guy, and he moved up as well. So, obviously, that Spitfire team was a little diamond in the rough.
Absolutely, yeah.
Across the whole board.
It's a hockey factory in Windsor.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about that. That's why I love doing this, man. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me, man. This has been really cool.
No, absolutely. This is a lot of fun.
A huge thanks goes out to Ottawa Senators, Evan Mathias, video coach, for taking the time to do that. Really cool story. I mean, just getting started here in Windsor through a volunteer opportunity with the Spitfires. You know, something that's encouraged to do for lots of people wanting to get involved in the field. And his story is a prime example that you can make it. You can make it to the highest level in the NHL. You know, despite what your goal might be or what you want to do, it is possible. And you do have to start kind of from scratch and, you know, start wherever you can. And, you know, opportunities are everything. Timing is everything. And you got to capitalize on opportunities. And that's why I want to tell you about Bet Us. America's Sportsbook has partnered with Win City Sports, and we're offering you one sweet deal. Sign up now with the link in the Win City Sports social media bio. Hit that link to our link tree and hit up the Bet Us offer. Go there and sign up and use our code WINCITY, WINCITY, for a 125% bonus on your first deposit. So you sign up, you put in $100, they're going to match it $125 you're going to get to play and gamble and bet on sports games. Lots of sports going on around the world in the NBA, NFL, NHL, and MLB will be coming up soon enough. You know, lots of stuff going on. Might not be able to bet on Spitfire games or go to Spitfire games, but you can make some money on those sweet, sweet American games overseas right now. So, you know, technically over the river. But anyway, 125% bonus on betus.com, America's sportsbook, America's favorite sportsbook. Use code WINCITY for a 125% bonus. do it now while supplies last, I suppose. Get it while it's hot. Get it while it's hot. They also have some other offers. Sign up there. Let us know what you think. And I myself signed up and got to make some bets tonight. Monday night, better yet. Not a lot of hockey for me to bet on tonight. But anyway, not a lot of hockey or sports for me to talk about going forward for the rest of the show. But I will try to get you caught up on as much as possible. We may have a new pro soccer team coming to the Windsor area. I want to talk a little bit about that, but before we do, I just want to get you caught up with the Windsor Spitfires, as talked about earlier in the show. That game with the Flint Firebirds has concluded at the WSU Center with a final score of 6-3, with our Spitfires finishing on top. Pasquale Zito put up two goals for our Windsor Spitfires. So one thing we also didn't mention is their next game. As of now, they are scheduled to have a game at the WFCU Center on Thursday, welcoming in the Sioux Greyhounds. From there, they go to Kitchener on Friday night and then come back home to welcome the Rangers back to their home turf on Sunday afternoon. By the time we speak next, those will be their three scheduled games, and then planning to return home to the WFCU Center January 27th. I say planned because you never know what's going to happen here in Ontario. As of now, as long as things go according to plan, which, you know, whatever, but we're supposed to be released on the 26th, and the 27th could have a game with a limited number of fans, maybe at least season ticket holders. So stay tuned for that in the next couple weeks to see what happens. But that is our Spitfires. Next week, following their win on Sunday night, they are scheduled to play three games, two at home and one on the road. But as mentioned, some news going around on Twitter and throughout everywhere, as you might have seen on TSN if you're a soccer fan. Windsor might be getting a new pro soccer team in the Canadian Professional League. Windsor's own and Lancers alumni David Callahan is behind the project. He believes his hometown of Windsor-Essex County area might be the perfect spot for a franchise in what feels to be one of the best soccer leagues in the world. So Callahan, if you're not familiar with him, he's a 60-year-old Windsor native. He backed up his words by stepping down as chairman and commissioner of the CPL, the Canadian Premier League, after being awarded the exclusive rights to an expansion club in the Windsor-Essex area. So showing he means business, getting approved to bring that pro team to Windsor, a striving league that has been successful throughout the country, similar to the NBL of Canada, which I want to talk about in a second. But in the future, maybe as early as the summer or next, we might see a new pro soccer team in Windsor. Another little sports update from Power Play Sports, as some basketball fans might have heard. Michael Mulder is back home and is waiting his next opportunity while he inspires the community at home. He got waived, unfortunately, by the Orlando Magic in the NBA, previously playing for the Golden State Warriors last year. And in the Miami Heat organization, he's showing people in Windsor that they can make it. They can do it. So Michael Mulder's at home right now for a little rest period. But as mentioned just a minute ago, too, I want to talk about the NBL of Canada. NBL of Canada has a new streaming program, platform, that they'll be able to stream all of their games. It's called NBL TV, and it's going to be available through Panda, starting as soon as the regular season starts this year in February. So Windsor Express games are slated to be back as of now next month. We'll have more news on that, as I will be involved with them, hopefully doing some work at the games to help bring you guys some entertainment. So again, not a lot to talk about this week on Windsor City Sports. Got you caught up with the Spitfires. Let you know we might have a new soccer team coming to Windsor in the Canadian Premier League, featuring some Windsorites and Canadian, obviously tons of Canadian players, coaches, etc. And if you are a big basketball fan, Windsor Express fan, and maybe not keen on going out to games, or you can't make it, or just like to stay home, you'll be able to stream them. So that is it this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Monday for you with a brand new episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and much more. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, give us a review, rating, or whatever platform you might use. Hit us with those thumbs ups and follows on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and as well as our YouTube channel. Hit us subscribe on there. On social media, we are at WinCity_sports. Very easy to find. WinCity is all one word. So give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. Give us a review. Give us a thumbs up. Tell your friends, spread the word, and let us know what you think. of the Wind City Sports Podcast. You can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram at Drake DeMore. But until next week, smell you later.
This episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast was brought to you by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC.
If you didn't know, Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC is proud to serve drivers all throughout the county in South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, LaSalle, and beyond. They believe providing top quality service to everyone that walks through the door, and I can attest to that. That includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. Right now, the holiday countdown event is back with amazing deals and savings on the new 2022 GMC Terrain.